I am a pioneer in something that I'm doing, and of course people are going to be totally offended and completely freaked out of something they've never seen. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, yes, I used to get very twisted about it, but now I can give a shit what you think about me, to be honest with you, because I know what I'm doing is totally important, and I know that it's going to affect people. And if it affects them negatively, in a sense, it's making them think about it. So that's a good thing.
Today's Feast of Fools is brought to you by generous support of handsome, well-endowed, gorgeous listeners just like you.
Without your support, we really couldn't do this show, so please visit feastoffools.net, make a donation, buy a beautifully new black t-shirt. They're digitally delicious.
Because without you, we're nothing.
Today's show is also brought to you in part by Steamworks Gym Sauna and Baths. Release the pressure.
Saca la presión.
Steamworks. Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play.
Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, and Toronto.
When you're ready to play,
Steamworks, it's ready for you. Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get your discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fools on the promo code field to get the special discount.
Play hard, play smart.
That?
Uh-huh. A little more of the left.
Tell me luxury's definition. I said, tell me luxury's definition. So tell me luxury's definition. Must be the whispering that everyone listens. I've been told that money rules the world. I said I've been told that money rules the world. I've been told that money rules the world, but with no purpose, money has no worth.
Remain calm. It's the podcast that gets you in touch with your inner El Niño, the Feast of Fools. On today's show, we'll be talking to Buck Angel, the most famous female-to-male porn star in the world. Buck is well known for photos taken of his muscular body, smoking a cigar, and exposing his vagina to the camera.
This guy is so masculine, even his pussy is butch.
Listen as we ask Buck, what makes a man a man?
What's the attraction to bareback porn?
How did he overcome his drug addiction?
And what is it like to sit in the waiting room of a gynecologist with a bunch of ladies?
What is that like, I wonder? Well, stay tuned. You'll find out. I'm Fausto Furnos.
And I'm Mark Gillian.
And you're listening to Eric Hyman's music. The song is Luxury's Definition from his album All for Show, available on our website, feastoffools.net.
Stay tuned.
I'm not some girl, psychic fig. I'm just like a good man. Is that so bad? Tell me luxury's definition. I said, tell me luxury's definition. Tell me luxury's definition. Tell the truth, never have to be forgiven.
Hello.
Good morning, Buck Angel. I'm Fausto Furnos.
And I'm Mark Fillion, and you're on the Feast of Fools podcast.
Hi, whoop, guys. Whoop.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very good. Thanks for having me on the show.
What was the last porn that you did? What was the title of the movie?
My latest porn is called Buckback Mountain.
Let me guess, you're a sheep rancher somewhere in Montana or Wyoming.
In Mexico.
Close. Actually, it was out in the desert in California. We shot the whole thing on location in the desert.
So wow. Mentally, does it take place in California or in Wyoming?
Wyoming. It's totally like that kind of situation.
And so were you Jake Gyllenhaal or were you Heath Ledger?
Jake.
Okay. Oh, that's right, because you're the bottom, right?
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm really not a bottom. Everybody thinks I'm a bottom, but I'm really not a bottom.
Now, people who are listening right now, let's describe who you are as a person. I hate reducing anybody to their sex change, but why not? Because you make a living at it, right? I guess. Is that part
guess.
Of the, the appeal is that you're a woman who became a man, who became a very butch, muscular man, and you make a living as a porn star, and part of the appeal is the fact that you kept your genitals intact.
Yeah. Female genitals.
Your female genitals. So you get fucked in your vagina, but from the waist up, you're a dude.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, that's probably the best way to describe me to people who don't really understand that I really am a man, even though I have a vagina. So I just chose not to have the bottom surgery because I didn't feel that it was something that I needed to do, and I don't really like the technical aspects of it. It just doesn't work. Why do I need a penis that doesn't get hard or
right.
I can pee out of it?
And most what a lot of people I don't think understand is, isn't it most female to male transsexuals do not get the sexual reassignment surgery down there, right?
I would say a lot. I don't really know the estimate, to be honest with you, but I think I'm also helping guys to understand they don't need to. A lot of them used to feel like they needed to, and they did have that surgery,
mm-hmm.
and it's horrific. I mean, I don't want to say that because I think it's insulting to the guys who've had it, but, you know, I just think that the surgery isn't really, you know, what's the point of having something like that between your legs?
Because it's a penis that doesn't work, and then it's, you know, it's a very invasive surgery as well.
Yes, and, you know, many guys have gotten sick from it and gangrene, and it's just a really difficult thing to come back from, and then, you know, it costs a lot of money, like somewhere between $50,000 to $70,000
But I think, Buck, what sets you apart from a lot of trans people is that you decided to make a career, at least as a porn star, mm-hmm. and then that's part of your appeal as
a
porn star.
I chose to
besides the fact that you give mean head or something.
Well, just to show the world that, you know, I'm here and I exist, and I never had any intention, nor do I have intention to represent the trans community, because I don't really even consider myself a trans person. I consider myself a man who has a vagina, and that's just that. I'm trying to show the world that what you have between your legs is not what makes who you are as gender.
Well, what makes you as a man or as a gender?
It's all in your mind, and it's all in how you feel about yourself. You know, it's like there's a lot of women out there who have cocks between their legs, and they're nowhere near a man. They're totally women, as far as I'm concerned.
Like China, have you ever Googled China's clit? Have you ever seen
China.
Yeah. So, what do you consider China to be? I mean, do we even need to determine
China the wrestler?
China the wrestler. Yes.
She's a chick. She just happens to be a big butch chick.
Okay.
With a big clit.
I think mine's bigger, to be honest with you.
Really?
And that's a lot of that's from the testosterone that you've taken,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, testosterone and getting head a lot, sucking on it, you know, makes it grow a lot.
Oh, really?
Yeah, totally.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Wow.
Get to work, Fausto.
So does it bother you that someone might call you she or a lady with a, you know, that became a dude? Or I mean, it's like, does it bother you when people sort of incorrectly...
Or don't get it?
Because it doesn't bother me when it happens to me, but I know that for some people it would.
To be honest with you, in the beginning, of course, you know, I got, you know, crappy emails and you're a freak and fuck off and die and, you know, stuff like that. And I had to understand.
And that was your boyfriend.
That was my mom. And I had to realize that that's just how people are in the world. And I am a pioneer in something that I'm doing. And of course, people are going to be totally offended and completely freaked out of something they've never seen.
Mm-hmm.
So in the beginning, yes, I used to get very twisted about it. But now I can give a shit what you think about me, to be honest with you, because I know what I'm doing is totally important. And I know that it's going to affect people. And if it affects them negatively, in a sense, it's making them think about it. So that's a good thing. So, you know, people call me she all the time, which I find very hilarious. I mean, how can you call me she?
Well,
because you look like a dude.
Except for the fact that you have this moist, beautiful vagina between your legs.
Well, I don't know about moist. Does it? I mean, I don't want to get too personal. Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
And if you're making a living with your pussy, wouldn't that be like you're a working woman in a certain sense?
No, because I am not a woman. And see, I know it's
but
really
your vagina thinks it's a woman.
No, it doesn't. My vagina thinks it's a man. Trust me.
All right.
No
okay.
Way.
Well, that's
when
fine.
When I get fucked like a man. And when a guy is fucked, you know, I fuck many gay men. And when gay men fuck me, they're like, wow, that is the most incredible. Most gay men I fuck have never fucked a pussy before. Of course, because they're not attracted to women.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, maybe sometime in their life they felt like they wanted to fuck a pussy, but they're just not attracted to women. So here's Buck, and they can, you know, try a vagina, and they're like, wow. And I'm like, dude, a vagina is meant to get fucked. I mean, not that an ass probably doesn't feel good, too. I don't know, but an ass and a vagina are two different things.
See, I've always been telling gay guys that they should try hooking up with trans guys.
Yeah.
Because it's you know, if you're not, if you're gonna do barebacking, do it with a vagina, because it's built to take it. It's built to take it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. It's less risky. Even though, to be honest with you, I'm super safe sex oriented. I even give blowjobs with condoms on my films.
Wow.
So, yeah, I'm super safe. And you know, whatever you do in your private life, it's totally okay. But I feel as a pornographer, I have a responsibility in the world to show that safe sex is hot and sexy. And I think that it's really important to show that, you know, you can, it doesn't necessarily you're going to get AIDS from giving a blowjob, but you can get gonorrhea or chlamydia or all kinds of other things by giving
that
a blowjob.
You can get warts, and the warts lead to throat cancer.
Exactly. So, you know, I don't know. People, I just got an email from some guy saying, you know, Buck, I love your porn, but it's really, can't you just give blowjobs without a condom? That's so, only paranoid women give blowjobs with condoms.
Once again.
Even Lady Bunny gives blowjobs with condoms.
That's true, yeah.
Yay.
Well, what do you think about porn stars that actually say, you know, it's nobody's business, that it's my own thing
to make a porn? People are going to do what they want to do.
And I compare, you know, unsafe sex, or, well, sex without condoms in pornography, comparing it to smoking in film. It glamorizes the act of smoking, and it's not something that, you know, no one's going to kill you or castrate you or ostracize you if you smoke in Hollywood films these days, but it's not considered as cool or cachet. Can we, as queer people, can we make unprotected anal sex uncool, like smoking in film?
Yeah, by not buying it. The problem is that it's the most popular video out there. The number one selling gay porn is barebacking porn. So as long as people are buying it, in the industry, in the gay, in the adult industry, what sells is what they're going to make, no matter what. They have no principles. They have no morals. They don't care. And there's people like me or Titan Media who really care about what we do, and we feel like we have a responsibility in porn, and that I'm a teacher in a sense, and that even though, like I said, if I choose to do it in my private life, that's fine. But when I'm out putting it out there, I do have a responsibility to show that it is not 1960, and you cannot have unprotected sex, no matter how much you think it's cool or hot. It's not okay.
What do you think that sells so well?
Because it's kind of like, I think, the sort of like, you know, you're not supposed to do it kind of thing. You know, it's like, and I don't have a cock, so I can't tell you how it feels, but supposedly it feels better to have sex without a condom. But,
well, yeah, I usually, you know, remove the wrapper on the candy before I eat it.
Exactly. But here's the situation. Is your life really worth that 5 minutes of 10 minutes, an hour?
For some people, it is.
For some people, I think it is.
Exactly. And
they want to ride that roller coaster.
That's their thing. And, you know, like I said, that's totally okay. But for me, in my responsibility as somebody out there, I can't do that. I refuse to do that. It's just not okay. I wouldn't feel... I have too many friends in my life that I've lost from AIDS, and I just don't feel comfortable. They would be really pissed at me if I was out there making movies like that. It's just... I just personally don't feel it's okay to do that.
Well, and it's just to me, it's like, what do you think about universal health care? Because you moved to Mexico.
Uh-huh.
So to get the access to their health care system, I guess.
That's not why.
I'm just kidding.
Of the U.S. government. That's why I moved. But yeah, it's all
about healthcare. We'll get to that in a minute. But it's like, do you think that, you know, if we had universal health care, it's like if a, you know, unprotected anal intercourse porn star develops HIV, you know, should we as a society cover the costs of their...
No.
We shouldn't.
No, of course not, because you fucking know what you're doing. When you stick your cock in that ass with no condom on it, don't tell me you don't know what you're doing. Or, oh my God, I didn't realize I was going to catch something. Not just AIDS, whatever, gonorrhea, whatever.
But should then fat people, like, who eat, you know,
right,
get diabetes, should we cover their costs?
No.
Should people who smoke, should we cover the cost of cancer? I mean, where do you draw the line?
Well, okay, cancer is a different situation, because I think cancer a lot of times can come, you can get cancer, breast cancer, you can get those things through, you know, genes or whatever.
I'm talking about smoking. I mean, like, people's bad behavior,
smoking, yeah,
getting them sick and threatening their lives.
Well, it's holding
people. I smoke cigars. Now, when I get mouth cancer, you know what? It's my own fucking problem.
But we should, you know, I think that we should pay, as a society, should pay for our people when they get sick. Regardless of their behavior,
not
you know?
Everything. I mean, come on, the knowledge is out there. I think it's disgusting how the knowledge is out there for HIV, how you can contract HIV, and people still act as if it's like not there and they don't have to worry about it. And there's medicine. You can take some kind of pills after you fuck that won't give you AIDS or something. Like all this this crazy nonsense in your head that if you don't have AIDS and you're not gay. I mean, all these why would you want to be sick? I don't know. Many of these people haven't had to go through. I've had many friends, like I said, who've been sick, and I've watched them go from that to death, and it was a horrifying experience for me. So maybe because it's in my head and I've seen it, you know, firsthand, I'm a little bit more of an advocate.
Well, I had a friend who was morbidly obese, and he, knowing he had developed full-blown diabetes, mm-hmm. and so full-blown AIDS, uh-huh. and nevertheless, knowing all this information, he continued to drink soda pop and candy and chips till the day he died.
Well, then, you know what? That's what he wanted to do, and that's totally okay for himself, but I don't feel sorry for him. And that's why I don't feel, you know, if a person who is obese goes into the doctor and wants to get it taken care of and then afterward takes care of himself, that's, but if they go back to eating chips and Kentucky Fried Chicken and all that shit, then you know what? No, they do not deserve to have any health care, because why, you know, it's, then they need to have a, go to the psychiatrist or something, because there's something wrong with their head if they continue to have that type of, you know, well, behavior.
Well, Buck, why did you move to Mexico?
I moved to Mexico first off because I was pretty tired of the United States government dealing with, you know, having all the laws changing around pornography and around what I can and cannot do as a person when I live there. And
now explain how the laws changed recently, because they require the porn company to have the home address of the porn stars, or
it was, you know, pretty much like that before. We have, you know, when you go and shoot a porn, you get the model releases, and you get, you know, you have to make sure the model is over 18. And but now they've just to elaborate on it would take me hundreds of hours. But it's complete. You have to have all these all this paperwork that basically would fill up 50,000 file cabinets to show that you're under law of the 2257s, which is, it's almost virtually impossible to do this. So
can you produce porn out? It's easier to produce porn in other countries and then just ship it here?
Yeah, totally. It's much easier for me to not have to worry about the U.S. government knocking on my door tomorrow and seeing literally one piece of paper out of whack and telling me that, okay, well, we don't like the way your paperwork is done. We can take you to jail right now. 5 years, immediately 5 years, you're gone to jail. And a lot of people don't know these laws have changed because they're not really in the porn industry, and they don't realize how tough it's become. You know, you can't do fisting, you can't do peeing, you can't say
you can't
daddy.
Do fit. What?
Yeah, I had to re-edit a bunch of my movies because, of course, I'm fucking and they're calling me daddy, and I had to re-edit because my distribution company would not distribute my movies because they were calling me daddy, which...
What do you mean? Because they were...
To construe child pornography.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Huh,
that's interesting.
And tell me about this fisting. You can't.
This thing is completely against the law in the United States. Completely, because it's considered like. Hold on 1 second. My dog is freaking out. It's going to completely start. It's considered.
Here's where talking about fisting.
It's getting excited. Porno doggy.
Well, fisting is considered totally disgusting, and they don't, you know, basically, they don't want to have anything that is not basic, just regular, basically fucking.
So is that why, like, a lot of pornography now looks like college students in their dorms masturbating?
Exactly. You don't see a lot of hardcore pornography out there, if you notice that. And the guys that are doing it are basically just thinking they're not going to get caught by the government. And I'm not a gambler, so I don't really feel like... That's why I have European distribution, and I do fisting and all that in Europe. But anything in the United States,
I go to Europe to do my fisting. I just love that.
Yeah. It's all about European porn, because you can do all of that. But unless they...
Now, I come from a Latin American country in Puerto Rico, and I know that, at least in Puerto Rican laws, that it would be just as difficult to make a living as a pornographer as it would be in the United States. Is Mexico, are you planning to, like, make pornography in Mexico, or?
No, actually, for now, I keep a very low profile here, only because I travel and I do a lot of work out of Mexico and the United States and in Europe, and I need a break. So basically what I do is I come home to my place here and I just, you know, do my stuff on my net and I just chill out until my next trip. So because if I continue to do that, it's just like I'm constantly working and I need a little downtime. So eventually I might. It's just going to feel out. The laws in Mexico are very liberal here. Basically the only thing you can't do is pimping. Prostitution is legal. All of that is legal. The only thing you cannot be is a pimp.
Because I figured it's like, you know, if you really want to go to a Hispanic country, mm-hmm. that's very open-minded, liberal, go to Spain.
Yeah, Spain. Mm. I was in Spain on television. You know, when I was on a television show in Spain, and they had me do a live striptease show, and it was like the biggest television show in Spain, 3 million viewers.
Wow. So did you take it all off?
Oh, sorry?
Did you take it all off?
Yes. I was like, are you sure? sure? Are you sure? I kept asking.
And they're like, oh, yes, this is Spade. Just take your clothes off. Right around.
It was a live TV show. And then the next day, I'm walking down the street going to get something to eat. And then, like, oh, people are coming up to me, Buck Angel, you're great, Buck Angel. And I was thinking, wow, every single one of these people just saw me strip on TV last night.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Well, I mean, does it bother you sometimes? Or you're like, I just want a little bit of privacy. Thank you very much.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, no, I think I enjoy what I'm doing, and I think I enjoy the fact that people enjoy what I'm doing, and I think that, well, when I go to Europe, it's so much more open-minded around what I do as opposed to when I go to the States. Even though when I'm in the States, like I've been in the airport, and people have come up to me and said, are you Buck Angel? I love what you do. It's so great. And I think that, wow, that's so cool. People just actually come up to me and say that. That's really amazing, I think.
So what's up with the cigars?
I love cigars. I just, man, you know, see, I love cigars, even though I know it's a bad situation and I shouldn't be doing it.
Well, and
you're glamorizing a behavior that's going to cause somebody to die.
I agree with you 110%.
And so are you smoking Cubans down there?
I don't do drugs. I don't do any. I quit smoking. I mean, I quit drinking and doing drugs 16 years ago. So, you know, I kind of like my little vice.
And so you used to be a drug addict, right?
Yeah, I used to be a hardcore cocaine addict. That was I shouldn't be sitting here talking to you. That's how bad it was.
How did you get out of it?
You know what? One day I had like this awakening, and I just knew like I was going to die if I didn't get myself into a. It was weird. It was just like I'm supposed to be sitting here. I really believe how crazy that sounds and how like all new age that sounds.
So you had a like epiphany?
Sort of, I guess. Yeah, I was literally laying in the gutter in West Hollywood, California, totally out of my mind, and I had somebody come and pick me up, and they took me, and they said, I will never speak to you again unless you go into rehab, and I went into rehab, and since that day, I've been sober.
And you said, move over, Lindsay Lohan.
Lindsay Lohan wasn't even born, I don't think.
She's totally out of her mind. And you know what? People just hype it. That's why she keeps doing that, because they're just hyping it, and they're making it okay for her to be all fucking out of control.
What was the process of you going into rehab like for you?
It was very scary. It's not a fun experience, and it's very scary, and it's very much like kind of tough love where they're like, look, you get it together or you just get the fuck out of here kind of thing. Like, you have to want to be there, and you have to want to get sober, and if you don't, then it's not going to work for you. And that's the thing that you have to understand is, why are you getting drunk? I had to realize, why am I getting drunk and getting stoned and getting coked out of my brains and doing all this crazy stuff? Why am I doing it? I realized it was because of my gender issues. I didn't realize that I could become a man, and I hated being a woman. I hated being in that female form. It was horrible, like so much that I wanted to kill myself.
Well, I mean, don't you think that somebody might think of it as a just being a self-hating woman? I mean, there's like, or having like sexism.
Yeah, my therapist did think that. My therapist at the time had no tools. She had no tools to understand transgender or any of that. So she was just like, you're a very male-identified woman. And I'm like, no, I'm a man. I'm a guy. I feel like a guy. And she's like, well, that's impossible. You're just a very male woman. And I mean, that's always what I got from people constantly, was that they had no tools to tell me that I could actually have a sex change.
Now, do you think that we're sort of obsessed on celebrity culture to the point that it's like we treat going into rehab too lightly in the news? Or
yeah, like I said, like Lindsay Lohan, all that, it's just like, oh, she's going into rehab again, woohoo. Yeah, I definitely think so.
Well, what do you make of when you see Lindsay Lohan's going into rehab again? Do you think it's just a publicity stunt? Or
no, I think she's crying for help, and I just don't think that she has the people around her to have the tools to help her to deal with the situation. They should just take her out of Hollywood, bam. But she's worth too much money. It comes down to money. There's no way in hell they're going to remove her from that situation.
See, but I could see you doing Disney films for some reason.
Me?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like you could be like the lovable tranny.
That would be hot.
That you solves crimes and gets, you know, like you could be in the sequel to Herbie the Love Bug.
Oh my God. You never know. Next thing you know, I get a phone call. Thanks, guys.
You never know who's listening. Is you know, Disney, someone from the Disney Corporation said to me one time in person, our audience is the American family. Mm-hmm. And because the definition of what a family is changing, we need to change in order to continue to speak to our audience.
Yes, definitely. That's
that is what cool. From the Disney Corporation, it's mouths to my ears.
Wow.
So there you never know. That's I think that's part of the reason why Disney sort of has this tango with gay people, you know, certainly gay days and all that stuff. So any plans for future films for you? I mean, like any, you know, are you going to doing some stuff on YouTube
I have a YouTube thing already. There's a bunch of my films on my YouTube account. It's Buck Angel Entertainment.
Because Buck Angel was taken?
Yeah, actually, people took my MySpace thing. Like, people take. I just got my name trademarked, Buck Angel trademarked. So
there's another trans porn star going around under the same name.
No, they're just taking the name.
My name to use it as, like, you know, linking. Like,
I'm cool. I'm Buck Angel.
Now, your mom and dad called you Buck Angel.
My mom and dad, yeah, I grew up totally as a girl, but as a guy. Like, they call me the boy name, they treated me as a boy, they, you know, and then when I had sex change, my dad was like, oh, it's my fault. And I'm like, it's not your fault. You treated me like a boy because you felt like I was a boy.
That's so interesting. So yeah. Are your parents cool with all the porn that you do and all that stuff? And
you know, at first I didn't tell my parents for the first couple of years I was doing it. And I just told them I work in the adult business, but I didn't tell them, you know, it was mm-hmm. me and da-da-da-da. And they're like, okay, whatever makes you happy. You know, they're just happy to see me out of drugs and alcohol and, you know, basically getting my life together. So when I won the AVN Award for Transsexual Performer of the Year, I knew, like, it was going to be all over the place, and so I just called my parents. My dad answered the phone. I'm like, Dad, I just have to tell you something, and I said, you know, da-da-da-da, it's me in porn. I'm a porn star. And he's like, wow, my son's a porn star. That's so cool. So, yeah, I couldn't really ask for anything else. My parents have been very, very
cool. Wow.
What's the AVN Awards?
It's the Adult Video News, and it's basically the Grammys or Oscars of the porn industry.
Oh, so in other words, it doesn't mean anything.
No.
I'm just kidding.
Well, no, they have, like, the biggest cock and stuff like that, or the best cum scene.
I mean, it's huge in the adult industry. Mm-hmm. It's a big, I was the first ever guy like me to win an award ever in the history of porn.
Now, what is it voted by the people in the industry themselves, or is it, like, by the consumer, or?
No, it's by the AVN industry. Yes, by the adult video industry. Yes.
So how do you know, like, the vote isn't being swung? Like, wouldn't each porn company vote for their own product and the one that has the most votes?
Like, you as a porn company send your movie or send your nominations in, and then once it's nominated, then they have a board of kind of people in that particular.
That's nice work if you can get it, huh? Let's see. Let me look at that cum shot one more time to see if that's the one I want.
It's not that fun. After a while, you get sick of looking at cum shots.
Well, I mean, this is the thing that some people imagine, just like, you know, internet personalities, that we all know each other and we all hang out at the same time. Do people have that misconception of porn stars that you all know each other? Like, what is Pavel Novotny up to?
I have no idea. I don't hang out with any of those guys.
So it's you just on your own here?
Well, sort of, because of who I am, too. I mean, I do have a lot of friends in the porn industry, but I wouldn't say that I hang out with everyone.
Anybody we'd know, or like you know, any famous porn stars?
Who's
like Chi Chi LaRue, I guess,
of
is the
course.
Only.
I know Chi. She's awesome. She
knows where the bodies are buried, according to Paul. Who said that?
Liz Winstead.
Yeah, Liz Winstead said she knows where the bodies are buried.
That's funny. You know what? She is a very cool person and very supportive from the beginning of what I was doing. So I have to say that most everyone in the industry has been very supportive of me. Some people in the gay man industry think it's disgusting what I'm doing and don't really support what I'm doing. But, you know, of course you're going to get, because I don't have a cock, then, you know, it's totally disgusting that I'm doing gay porn or whatever.
Because you consider yourself bisexual, right?
Yeah, I consider myself sexual. I don't know, bisexual. I just, whatever's there.
So when you get it on with a chick, what do you do? I mean, it's like, do you put a strap on, or?
Yeah, I have a dick, and I fuck her, and she eats my pussy, and we do everything like everyone else does. And I'm a little more into more hardcore fetishy kind of sex, but, and same with guys. They fuck me, I fuck them, we suck each other off, we do all everything.
Any plans on doing a splashing video, which is sex with food?
Nah, that's really not
I'd love
fetish.
To see you sit on a birthday cake.
You know what? I think I'll make you a special little YouTube.
Would you do that?
Of course.
Make a cake that says Feast of Fools and then sit on it.
I'll totally do that. So what kind of cake do you like?
Vanilla or chocolate's fine. You know, okay. It's just lots of frosting and lots of flowers on the cake.
Okay.
And if it has lit candles on it while you're sitting on it, and you can...
Oh, come on. Now you're asking.
And make sure you're wearing a clown's nose. Just kidding.
A clown's nose? I'm going to send you a special cake sitting video.
Are you promised you would do that?
I'm not saying that. I'm really
We'll post it on our website.
Okay. I will post it.
Okay.
So it'll not safe for work, but, you know, it's like...
Yeah, no.
No, wear clothing.
Wear a suit.
Wear a suit?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do you usually take requests from your, like, fans? Like,
of course, yeah.
Really? So, like, they want to see you?
I like when people get request stuff for me. I mean, I think it just, you know, it just shows that they're interested in what I'm doing, and it's turning them on, so they want to see more of, you know, I can only come up with so many ideas.
Mm-hmm. So, Buck, you're a bodybuilder.
Yeah, I go to the gym. I guess I'm a bodybuilder, sure, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So tell us about your workout routine.
Well, I work out 5 days a week, and I work out one body
part. Mark, pay attention here.
Pay attention.
I work out one body part a day, and I do abs every day, and I do calves. I'm trying to build my calves more, so I'm doing calves every day. And I eat a lot of protein, and it's very low fat, and it's all about drinking that protein drink right after you finish working out.
Mm-hmm.
And basically, eating has a lot more to do with it than weightlifting, really.
Really? Eat your way to muscle.
Eat your way to muscle.
I like that philosophy.
Yeah.
People don't know that. It's really about food is really, really, really important.
I put my protein powder into a Ziploc bag, and then I put water into it, and I shake it up, and then I bite the end off, and then I suck it out
like
I'm breastfeeding, yes. well, no, because I hate taking that container because then you forget to wash the container, you know, and then so this I can just dispose of.
I like putting it into a Starbucks coffee cup and then shaking it and stuff. So, you know, are you any plans on doing sort of like posing videos the way that like, you know, Jakub Stefano in Eastern Europe does, like where you're flexing your muscles for the video camera?
I haven't had any requests for that, but I could do that. Yeah, definitely. I'm going to start filming a new film here. I've been putting out only like 2-3 films a year right now just because I've been traveling and doing. I do live sex shows in Europe, so it takes a lot of my time, and putting together a movie is a lot of work. So mm-hmm. I haven't really. After Buckback Mountain has been really good.
I still love that title.
I can't wait to see that. And so Buck, you're making some personal appearances. Are you doing any in the States? Or we do have a lot of European listeners, especially in the UK.
UK is huge. That's why I'm going back to the. Well, on Monday I'm leaving for New York, and I'm going to do. I do a show there at a place called The Box, and it's kind of like a. I don't know what you would call it. It's kind of. Very she kind of like not underground, but more of a very high profile clientele. Like
mm-hmm.
Lindsay Lohan does go there, and so I'm gonna be performing. I do a little show there, and then,
will you be getting fucked or will you just
no? It's kind of like a striptease kind of thing.
Okay,
and because nobody knows who Buck Angel is there, and so when I strip down, people cannot believe that I'm a man with a pussy. They're just completely blown away. Mm-hmm. It's like a very straight crowd.
Mm-hmm.
So then after I'm finished and people are asking, what is that? Is that a small dick? Is that a pussy? And then I go to the UK October 25th to do a live show there. And then I go to Amsterdam to do 3 live shows there.
Well, I'm surprised you don't live in Amsterdam. You must be like a superstar there.
Amsterdam loves me, yes. Amsterdam is very, and so is the UK. They love me in London. It's really good for me there. People are very open-minded and very cool with me there. I love going to London.
Are you saving your money? What are you going to do when you retire?
Well, you know what? I pretty much kind of, where I live like in, I bought myself a nice huge piece of, like a compound, a huge piece of property, and it's just a big.
Do you have one of those tall fences with broken bottles,
yes,
like cemented
exactly.
to the top? Yeah, that's what I remember about the Yucatan.
So I have like an acre of land with my own private gym and everything, and so my money goes far here, you know, like I make a good money in Europe and I just sit in and turn it into pesos and it makes more money. And so I'm doing pretty good for myself here.
That's awesome. So what do the villagers call you? They call you El Angel. Or what is
they
it?
They call me Jefe Gringo.
Jefe Gringo.
Jefe Gringo.
Ayeva el Señor. Do they know you're trans?
No way. My maid does. I had to tell her because like my stuff is laying around. And then, so I told her my whole situation and she didn't believe it. She was like, no. I'm like, yes. And she's like, no. But then I had to pull out my pictures of me before, and she was like, no. And I'm like, yes.
And then she's like, oh, yes.
See?
Oh, yes.
So you could make a double career as a wrestler, you know, and go as El Angel with a mask. Because think about it.
Yeah, I could see you doing a little World
That's
Wrestling Federation.
Wrestling.
Yeah,
no way.
No,
wrestling.
You don't like it. You're a lover, not a fighter.
Yeah, exactly. I used to be a fighter. Now I'm a lover. Totally.
Hey, Buck, we have some questions from some of our listeners who wrote to us on our community forums, and one is from Maya, and she wants to know if you knew Armistead Mopan personally. If not, did he call you up before he included you in his last book?
Good question. Actually, no, I didn't, and I was quite surprised. So. When I went to San Francisco for Gay Pride, I met up with him there, and then we became friends. And so I met with him in Amsterdam, and I was so blown away. I couldn't believe he put me in his book. Like, I just, mm-hmm. I told him how honored I felt, and he said that he just thinks I'm an amazing pioneer and what I'm doing is so important. And I just thought, wow, I couldn't, like, I was kind of speechless and weirded out by it.
Wow. And this is a question from, I'm not sure, Mark, here, you printed these, I don't know who's the...
It's very confusing.
Okay,
ask the question.
Do you have routine female medical exams?
Yes, of course. I go like every 3 to 4 months. The hard part was finding them in Mexico.
Who's the question from, Mark?
It's from Songkite.
We want to make sure the people get the credit.
So they get their credit.
Sorry? I'm sorry.
Never mind. Answer the question. We'll figure it out.
Oh, you want me to say Mark? Or
No.
I'm sorry.
I'll read the question. Songkite has a question, and she wants to know, how was your doctor reactions to it, too? And does it feel weird?
In the United States, it's pretty open-minded, but here in Mexico, nobody would take me. They were like, no way. They were totally disgusted. And so then finally I found somebody who was like, oh, sure, no problem. It's fine. So,
well, was that hard going to a doctor and having them reject you? It's like because you're different?
You know what? I think I'm so okay with myself that I don't get offended by things. Like, I have to understand that people don't understand those things.
Well, let me ask you this, because I'm trying to picture you. So you go to a female, like a gynecologist, and what's it like sitting in the waiting room with these with these women? Do you pretend like you're waiting for your wife?
That is so funny. I had to go into the hospital in New Orleans, and so I had to actually go get an ultrasound done, and it was female ultrasound. So I'm sitting in a room full of women there, and they're all looking like, why is this guy? And I didn't realize at first that it was only for women ultrasound. I thought it was just regular ultrasound. And I'm thinking, why are these women just tripping out on me? And so I'm sitting, they're all going, and then I'm the last person, and it was an hour I was sitting there. Finally, the doctor came in, the nurse, and she's like, I'm sorry, but you know what? Nobody wants to work on you. And I was like, excuse me? She's like, they're all freaked out by you. And I'm like, oh, well, that's a little weird. She's like, that's okay. I have a gay sister. I'll take you. And I was like, oh, my God. This is America, and people are
totally
foolish like that. So,
well, I think they get kind of confused and don't know how to act, right?
Because I'm such a man. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. They're just completely freaked out.
And so
it.
Cliff Dix wants to know, how did you come up with the name Buck Angel?
Well, Buck is a very macho name, and I'm a very macho guy. And mm-hmm. Angel, my wife's name is Angel, so I took her name because she's a very lucky woman. And I just thought, wow, that's such a great ring, Buck Angel. So it worked out.
And Kinsawa wants to know, do you have any favorite house plants?
Favorite house plants?
Yeah. You're like, do you have any plants in your house that
no,
you like?
I have a gardener who takes care of all that. I have no idea what my plant. Oh, my marijuana. No, that's
Oh, this is a good one, too. Do you drop it like it's hot?
Do I drop it like it's hot? Yeah.
And Tommy Roddy from San Francisco wants to know how various groups in the FTM community have reacted to your popularity.
Wow, good question. I like that question. And the question is that I haven't had a lot of support from the FTM community. I think that mostly they think that what I'm doing is not responsible for the FTM community, and that I'm, you know, doing something that's degrading to FTMs, and that I'm representing all FTMs in a negative manner.
Well, you are representing each and every FTM, aren't you?
No.
don't all want to be porn stars and fetish models? And
they usually want to be like academics and universities
and stuff. And you know what? That's fine, but that's not what I do. I am not a representation of the FDM community. You know, it's like saying you're a representation of all the gay community. That's ridiculous.
We are,
but we try. You know how hard it is to jam all those letters into my identity.
Totally.
The Q's and the C's, we've made room
giblets,
for.
I feel dizzy. Every time I get anxious every time I walk past one of those like refrigerator magnets with the letters on it. Mm-hmm. Right. Makes me just nervous. Now, so we're going to do, let's move on to our breakdown. But this, I just can't follow these questions.
No, well, we did all of them pretty much.
We did, okay, yeah. Good. Okay.
We covered each and every one of them.
Breakdown 2007.
So, Buck, these are 20 questions we're going to answer. We're going to ask them of you. Just don't think about it. Just answer them. So, what's your favorite color?
Black.
What's your favorite food?
Tacos.
Would you describe yourself as a fancy shade of paint, please?
A fancy shade of pink?
Paint.
Household paint.
Would I describe... I'm sorry, can you say it again?
Describe yourself as a shade of paint.
Green.
No, but like when you go to the Glidden
like Emerald
store,
Glide.
You know,
oh, like
Discovery Sunrise.
As you can see, I don't do stuff like that.
Yeah, you're all butch.
Black.
When you were a kid, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A porn star.
Really? You wanted to be a porn star when
I
you were...
I always wanted to be a porn
before
star.
Before you had sex and you even knew what sex was?
Yes, I always wanted to be a porn star.
How did you even know what a porn star was?
Because I grew up with Playboy magazine.
Oh. Well, so did you want to be a girl or a guy porn star?
A
you
guy. Just, oh. I was always a guy.
Okay. What's the name and species of your favorite childhood pet?
The name and species... It was Pugsy, and he was a boxer.
What's the biggest misconception people have about you?
That I'm an asshole.
What's your best feature?
My pussy.
What turns you on in another guy or girl?
What turns me on in another guy is
or girl.
Attitude and girl tits.
If you could change one thing about yourself, what would it be?
My legs.
What would you want to do with your legs?
I want them to be bigger.
Okay. What's the best thing that happened to you recently?
What's the best thing that happened to me recently? I'm supposed to answer this fast, right?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
What worked out in your favor in the last 24 hours?
Or
month. Recent memory?
I got my tattoo.
Okay. What's the worst thing that's happened to you recently?
Let's see, what's the worst thing? God, nothing. I have a great life.
Do you have any financial advice for our listeners? Like, what should we be investing in?
Yes, invest in yourself and put your money away. Quit spending it on crap.
Okay. What would you like to see Oprah doing in 5 years?
Have me on her show.
5 years is a little too long to wait.
Well, I don't know. She hasn't had me on yet.
If you could travel back in time and meet anybody, who would it be?
Steve McQueen.
Who's Steve McQueen?
Oh,
I love him.
The actor.
What makes you mad?
Ignorance.
If your vagina... Now, this one's a long answer. If your vagina wrote its own monologue, what would it say?
Oh, my God, what are you doing?
What are you addicted to?
Cigars.
What musical instruments do you play?
None.
What's for dinner?
Chipotle chicken with rice and beans and chaya.
Ooh, what's chaya?
Oh, chaya is this amazing kind of... vegetable that they grow here in the Yucatan, and it tastes sort of like spinach but better. It's kind of has a tobacco-y flavor to it.
Oh,
it's like smoking and eating at the same time.
Wow, no wonder you love it.
It's delicious.
What happens to us when we die?
Hopefully we come back as a better person.
Oh, that's a beautiful thing. Or as the gender we wanted to be.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming on our show, Buck
Angel.
Thank you,
Buck.
Thanks, guys. That was really cool of you guys having me on. I appreciate it. I'm sorry it took so long to get back to you.
Oh, don't worry about it. It's my pleasure.
It's like you're a thrill to have you on.
And I'm going to send you that birthday, I mean, not that cake, that cake video.
And we will put it
just
up on the website.
Just go to one of those, don't go through all the trouble. Go to one of those Mexican bakeries and get them to make a really tacky pink frosting
or
cake.
Or blue.
And just take the Feast of Fools logo, print it out, you know, and say, ponme esto en el bizcocho, por favor.
Okay,
do you speak Spanish, Buck?
Poco, poco.
Okay.
Poco, aprende, okay? Sí. Vas a aprender, porque vives en México.
So where are you? Are we off the air yet? No.
No, we're still
so
on.
So you're in Mérida, right?
Yeah, okay. In the Yucatan.
You're in the city of Mérida?
Yeah, okay. Outside the city. I don't.
So if anybody who listens to the show, do you want them to knock on your door?
That's why I live outside of the city and not in the city.
Oh, okay. So you really want your privacy.
I literally live in a huge compound that's very private with private gates and everything. Like, if in America, it would look like a super millionaire star. Rich and famous.
Now, do you have like any like security guards with guns and stuff like that? Or?
No, it's very. You know what? Where I live is the safest city in all of Mexico.
Oh,
literally.
That's
nobody
wonderful.
Has guns. It's, you can leave your doors open here. It's very weird going back and forth from here to here.
I just remember the rain every day. It would just pummel the city and the streets. The streets would be like rivers.
Yeah, but I love it. It's such an amazing place. It's like paradise here.
Yeah.
We hope to visit you.
Oh, you're more than welcome to visit. I would love to have you guys. Maybe we could do a broadcast from here.
We had the money, I'd fly tomorrow.
I'd fly tomorrow.
It's not that expensive.
I know, but
it's not the once you get there, it's getting there that costs the money.
It's just, it's hard being podcasters. We're broke.
Well, one day, you know what?
One day we'll make
it. Guys, have a good show. It'll pay off.
Thank you, Buck. Thank you. We appreciate that.
Well, cool. Buck, thank you so much. We got to wrap up this show.
Okay.
Love ya.
Love it. Good luck. Talk to you later.
All right. Bye-bye.
So Buck Angel lives in the Yucatan Peninsula in Mexico.
Viva Mexico.
Que viva Mexico.
I was there. I was there 20 years ago.
You were?
Yes, as a young kid.
Oh, that's so nice. And what did you do when you got there?
Well, let's
see. How young were you?
I was 17. Went to Cancun, went to Mérida, Chichen Itza.
Oh, that's so nice.
All around there.
And what, were you by yourself or with your family?
I was staying with a Mexican family down there.
Oh, so it was like an exchange student sort of thing.
I was down there for like 3 weeks.
Oh, that's nice.
It was a kid I went to school with. He was an exchange student. He invited me to come down and stay with him. So I went and I stayed with Roberto.
I went to Mexico one time too with my mother.
To Monterrey, right?
To Monterrey, and I got so violently sick.
Oh. I didn't get sick while I was
there.
Don't
drink the water, people.
When I got home.
Really?
The Montezuma's revenge. You get it when you get home. But hey, I want to remind people, if you like the show or if you like listening to Buck Angel, please support the show. Please visit feastoffools.net. Make a donation, buy a t-shirt, because really we couldn't do this show without you.
We're trying to raise money to go to California for the People's Choice Podcast Awards. We're going to be doing a live event in Silver Lake on Sunday, September 30th, and a live podcast in San Francisco on Wednesday, October the 3rd. And you can join Amanda Steinstein, Miss Ronnie, Sal E., me, and Mark in San Francisco. So it's going to be a lot of fun, but we might not be able to do it. I mean, if we don't get a t-shirt,
make a donation.
We have fabulously, deliciously digital t-shirts waiting for you, the beautiful listener. They are made out of 100% comb cotton on American Apparel garments. And they not only look good, they make you feel good because you know you supported your favorite podcast.
And they fight ugly.
The Fools.
And today's show is also brought to you by wonderful sponsorship of Steamworks, Gym Sauna, and Baths.
Release the pressure! Saca la presión.
Steamworks. Steamworks is a comfortable and stylish place to meet other men, relax, work out, and play.
Open 24 hours a day, 365 days a year to men 18 and over in Berkeley, Chicago, and Toronto.
When you're ready to play,
Steamworks is ready for you. Visit steamworksonline.com and register to get a discount on your next visit. Enter Feast of Fools on the promo code field to get the special discount. Remember, you have to do the Feast of Fools in the promo code field to get that discount.
And play hard and play smart.
Well, let's end the show with little Eric Hyman.
Yeah, so I love a little Eric Hyman in my life.
Because it makes a great pun.
Oh, yes, Hyman.
Well, also because his voice is sort of gender ambiguous, just like Buck Angel.
Yes. Well, there's certainly an ambiguity there, but I think he pretty much said that he's a dude. He talks like a dude. Sounds like a dude.
So do you guys, what are your thoughts on this? Visit our website, feastoffools.net, and comment on it. If you like the guest that we're bringing to you, post a comment, because otherwise the guests won't come back.
Because they'll think, well, nobody listens to that show.
Nobody
they
cares
don't like
about me. And that's why you got to post a comment.
So if you like it,
comments are our currency.
If you don't like it, let us know.
Tell your friends about the Feast of Fools podcast. It's simple to do so. If you're a blogger, you can be on our blog roll, feastoffools.net/blogroll. Are you on it? Link back to us and we'll link back to you. The blog that brings us the most traffic in the past month gets featured on our show the following month.
Now, when are we going to talk to Jacob anyway?
I don't know. He's been a slippery eel.
He has been a slippery eel to catch. Ooh.
Yes,
but
indeed.
Once I get my hands on him,
you're gonna be digging the nails. Well, that's all we got. I'm
Bye.
Dr. Furnos.
I'm Mark Fillion. Bye. Was it ever here? 'Cause it's not here now. I hope to find it soon as I search the outskirts of you. This can all be fixed with a lie, molding and twisting at the fingers of your mind. And if no one knows, can it be proved?
true. Is that why I've been banished to the outskirts of you?